Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Nothing but a little cupboard o' stink. That's what you'll be dealing with. Right, here we go. Welcome to episode 232 of 20 Minute Tims, and on this episode I am joined by Stephen.
What's happening, folks?
And Melly.
Yes.
And what a week it's been on this emotional roller coaster that is following Celtic. But before we get into all that, this podcast is brought to you by our Patreon, where we have over 1,000 people supporting us on Patreon, enjoying extra podcasts and videos from us. There's something there for everyone, and you can support us from as little as £2.50 a month. We've got instant match reaction, tactics and analysis, and a live preview show. Check it all out at patreon.com/20minutetims. Check that out. See if there's anything there that you like. And I suppose there's been a lot of news this week, lads. A lot of news. And I think we've got a lot of listeners overseas, especially in the States and all that. And before we begin, I just want to acknowledge that, you know, it's pretty obvious that the people have spoken. They've had their voices heard, and it looks like there's going to be a new guy in the job. We know what job we're talking about, by January. Yeah, unfortunately, it's not the Celtic job we're talking about.
Is that about satire there, Jim? That political satire?
Just call me Ian Hislop of the old Celtic podcast game. What's his magazine, Private Eye? I'm sure they'll be picking picking the phone up shortly. Anyway, we need to get right into it. Last week we saw Celtic embark on what should have been, Stephen and Melly, a very straightforward Europa League tie against the worst team in the tournament, who are ravaged by COVID, who's not playing any domestic football, and who actually benched some of their better available players. But it turned out to be one of the most embarrassing defeats we have suffered in years. Is my summation of that accurate, Stephen?
Yeah, it was absolutely dismal, absolutely atrocious performance. There's no getting around it. It was just an absolute mess. Positives, I suppose, that we started all right. I thought we were quite good in the first like 15 minutes or so. I thought we dominated possession, but goodness me, it just absolutely fell apart and in spectacular fashion. We'll obviously get any more detail about this game, but my basic thoughts are these. You cannot be losing 4-1 at home to Sparta Prague. And I know every time we have a European game, our position on it is that there are no mugs at this level, right? You don't take any games for granted, certainly not in a group stage. That just doesn't happen anymore. But you take into account the various circumstances involved, and you've just listed them, Jamie, the fact that they were ravaged with pullouts due to COVID. They were full, 17-year-olds and all that playing in them. They were the worst team in the tournament prior to that. They'd conceded 7 goals in 2 games, I think, prior to the Celtic game. It's hard to talk about because...
Beggar's belief.
It does beggar belief, yeah. And we're a couple of days or we're a few days on from it, and we've had a more positive result since then. But that, it doesn't erase what happened there, because to all intents and purposes, we're now out of Europe at this very, very early stage, and I'm not happy about it.
Melly, do you think I was right to say it's one of the most embarrassing defeats that we've suffered in a number of years? I mean, we've had obviously Lincoln Red Imps, but obviously we got the chance to make good on that defeat. It didn't really put us out of anything. Under Neil Lennon, we've had a few. We've had Copenhagen, we've had Ferencváros most recently. Where does this rank for you in the embarrassing slash unacceptable defeats?
It's the most embarrassing in the last 10 years, definitely. It's one of those ones where you just go, that's it. This is a turning point, much like the Ronnie Dyla Europa League group stage, where we're just like, this guy's not got it. Sort of got the same feeling from that, because as Stephen said, trying to pick out positives, the positive was they hit the bar and post three times and it was only 4-1 and not 7.
I know. When comparing this to other embarrassing results, and they're all there. I mean, we don't need to go back too far in history to find an embarrassing Celtic European result. But people are saying, like PSG was worse than this and all that.
Wasn't it?
Yes, we get pumped off PSG. 7-1, was it? But Sparta Prague don't have the 4 or 5 of the top 10 players in the world currently playing for them, like PSG did. I mean, it's a ludicrous comparison. Yes, numerically, it was a heavier defeat, and I think Celtic's heaviest defeat in Europe ever, potentially. But context needs to be applied here. This is Sparta Prague we're talking about at home. We're not talking, it's incomparable to taking a doing off, at that point, the richest club in the world with, you know, the best forward line in the world, one of the best centre halves in the world in Thiago Silva, and I think Dani Alves as well. It's night and day, chalk and cheese. You cannot compare those two results.
There's no point looking at this and going, aye, but we were beat by a superior opposition, because Sparta Prague are so far down that ladder. Yeah. So far down that table, that this is an absolute shocker, whichever way you want to slice it. And it's a shocker in a week or a time frame when Neil Lennon could afford no more shockers. Mm. Now, admittedly, it's not a domestic shocker, but that doesn't absolve, in my opinion, that this pattern that we're seeing with Celtic. And once again, Melly, we're back to the tactics. It was clear on the night, from the very start, that things just weren't working. The approach was all wrong, the shape was wrong, the application for the players was wrong. It was obvious where the danger was coming from, with Frimpong going forward, leaving huge gaps. Once again, we've got this problem with Shane Duffy at right centre-back. These are issues that are obvious to absolutely everyone else. Why are they not obvious to the Celtic manager, Melly?
I don't know. I really don't know. We've spoken about it so many times this season. If you switch around managers, do we get a better result? Probably, because their manager looked at Celtic, and even though they were decimated by injuries and call-offs, he must have thought, like, I can still get at this team, because it's so obvious and easy to play against Celtic. We play 4-2-3-1, which is a bit crazy in Europe, especially because there are no mugs in Europe, but going into 4-2-3-1 with two fullbacks that fly on, so we've basically got two defensive players. We don't have a holding midfielder. No wonder teams just cut us open. It's so blatant to see Celtic's deficiencies in these games. We're just left leaving centre-halves one-on-one, simple balls down the channels. It gives your strikers space to run into every single time. They went 3-5-2 because they knew they could do that. Two strikers just go down the channels, we'll flood the midfield, have the defence drop into a five when we need it. And they absolutely schooled Celtic all over the park. It was embarrassing.
The issues in the Celtic team are playing for everyone to see. The number of goals that we've conceded recently, 2 against Rangers, 3 against Milan, 3 against Aberdeen, 2 against Lille, 4 against Prague. The number of goals that we've conceded in the last handful of games should ring out about how bad this defensive and how bad the defensive organisation is. Now, albeit Motherwell, Duffy lost his place, but that's after you get knocked out of Europe. The issue here is the Celtic defence and the manager's inability to change it, isn't it?
The defence is a mess just now, and it's a sad day. I know Julian is a good player, but you're absolutely screaming to get guys like that back in the team. You're wanting desperately to go back to the golden era of Ayer and Julian together, when really, were they playing all that well at the start of this season either? I know they've been good in the past, and I have advocated for going back to that partnership as well. It's just that, a shame Julian isn't available just now. But it really is a mess. Brought in Shane Duffy to fix this, and he has had the opposite effect. He is now a negative impact on the Celtic defence. He's not only hasn't improved it, he has made it significantly worse, and he is costing Celtic goals, so he lost his place to Motherwell. The fullbacks thing, you started talking about Jeremy Frimpong there. Jeremy Frimpong is a guy I'm a big fan of. I think he's a cracking player and will only get much, much better in the right hands. Notice I add that caveat. He will only get better because he has a lot of potential, but he is woefully out of position at times now. But the defensive organisation as it stands is an absolute mess, and it just makes me wonder, what does John Kennedy do? The defensive coach.
We need a defensive coach.
By the way, I don't actually believe that, and people still say that with alarming frequency. They still talk about how John Kennedy is failing as a defensive coach.
Just on Julian, I don't think there's any doubt now that Julian's a better defender than Shane Duffy. Neil Lennon brought in Shane Duffy presumably to shore up the back three when he was playing 3-5-2, but prior Shane Duffy coming into the team, so when Julian was in the defence, we'd conceded 4 goals. Our last 7 games there, we've conceded 13. goals. I don't think there's any doubt that this Duffy thing isn't working, and it's not been working for a long time. And what I'm struggling with, Melly, is why the manager had to get booted out of Europe to discover that. To discover that, and it's not just Shane Duffy. We don't just want to point to Shane Duffy.
Effectively, by the way, we're not quite out of Europe yet, but effectively, I know what you mean.
Effectively, yeah. By the manager's almost admission and by Callum McGregor's admission after the game, I think they're pretty much at it. But
yeah, more on that.
The real issue is the defence, but it's not just Shane Duffy. It's the organisation in the game, Melly. It's the organisation at set pieces. It's a shambles.
It's all over the pitch. We can highlight Shane Duffy, but if your fullbacks are flying on and you've not got midfielders who are in position to stop it, it's going to happen. We've seen it so many times with Celtic. How many times did we see it, say, last season as well, when we got to Copenhagen or we were in the qualifiers at the start of last season, right through the qualifiers this season? All it takes is two passes and you cut through the Celtic midfield and you're in on the defence, and there's always a fullback further on. Celtic, you have to adapt your tactics in Europe, and Celtic simply don't do that. If we're going to go into Europe, I really think we need to play a holding midfielder with two midfielders in front of them, but we don't. We play two midfielders with one in front, and one of the two midfielders that's meant to be sort of holding is a 35-year-old who can't get about the pitch. It's absolutely mental. Scott Brown, if he's playing in Europe, has to be sitting in front of the defence with two guys in front of him. One game we done that.
Can I just suggest something here? And call me mental. Call me mental if you think this is a bad idea. Can we not hook Scott Brown out of the team, right? Because it's not working, right? Not whether or not Scott Brown's working or because he was good against Motherwell, whatever. But would it not make more sense to have Nir Bitton in that position? So when the fullbacks are bombing on, Nir Bitton can drop in and make a three at the back, more defensively aware.
Well, in an ideal world, but again, this is us just, it's not working, so could he play here, could he play there? The issues are, players haven't been fit, so we haven't had everybody available to do this. And how many times have we sat here and said, look, Nir Bitton's our centre-half now, he's not played in midfield for years, so we're going to go back now and say,
shock you? I want Nir Bitton in midfield, despite what I said earlier.
Sometimes need must. I think it's pretty obvious that whatever Neil Lennon has concocted here isn't working. We're shipping goals left, right and centre. We're in real danger of losing this league, which is the real issue, right? We're in real danger of getting papped out of Europe here. And although we've just spent the last 10 minutes talking about the defence, which is obviously a big issue for Celtic and one of the biggest issues that presented itself in that game, this goes way beyond the shape, doesn't it? I mean, the issues in the night go way beyond the shape. You could say, like, changing to 3-5-2 might have solved it, but I don't really feel like that would have solved it, because the team, every individual, this was a team without motivation. The full 11 seemed to be playing without instruction. Neil Lennon said after the game it was like 11 individuals on the pitch. They seemingly have no clue where to be and what to do at times, and as a result, Melly, Celtic looks so vulnerable all over the pitch.
Oh, they do, and we've seen that. It was getting to the point where we're going to concede here, because they were all over us. They had three massive chances within 2 or 3 minutes. They had one that Scott Brain saved well. They hit the bar. Then from the corner, they get the first goal. Celtic didn't learn the lesson. They didn't get into shape. And again, another goal from a set piece. It's criminal, absolutely criminal. Guys getting beaten to the ball, guys ball watching, and every time it's simple, stupid goals we give away, and it's no coincidence anymore that it's down to everything. It's down to tactics, it's down to knowing your role, and they don't know that, and they don't know what the tactics are playing.
We could discuss this whole game, Stephen, and the fallout from this game and Celtic's recent performances.
Let's do that.
Right? And never mention, never even encroach upon the topic of whether or not Neil Lennon should be moved on. We don't have to. We could just give our opinion on these games and let the listener decide based on what we are saying. When you looked at that Celtic team the other night, even Callum McGregor said it after the game, we're throwing men forward to attack, leaving ourselves 2-on-2 at the back. This is a player coming out and publicly criticising the way the managers set the team up. Melly said it there. The players are not learning their lessons. But surely, Stephen, the way football works is the manager doesn't send out a shambles where there's shambles and messes all over the pitch and players playing with no cohesion, and then the players figure it out on the pitch. That's not where it happens. It happens in training. It happens in the coaching. They should be a well-oiled machine. We should, really, a year and a half in, Stephen, to Neil Lennon's tenure, we shouldn't be seeing messes like that.
Yeah, no, of course not. And there is an element of, once they cross the line, they have to find their own way to solve problems that arise that weren't planned for on the pitch. There is an element of that. but it shouldn't be the whole thing. It shouldn't be just, right, let's just see what happens. Let's all just
And that element
forward.
Exists as well. That element does exist here as well. Of course, so we're not absolving the players.
Yeah, and something Melly said earlier, and it is something we've been talking about for more than a season now, because I remember talking after the Sarajevo, the previous Sarajevo game last season, one of Bolingoli's debuts, or one of his first games rather. Watching it, and I was there with Tom of this parish, and we were watching it, and we were like, Celtic are so easy to cut open. It's like one, two passes, and all of a sudden this team have got a chance. And we even saw it against Motherwell as well, the amount of chances they were able to create. Yeah. And if they had anything up front, it might have been a completely different story. Obviously, Celtic were fairly comfortable in the end, but we allow so many chances against us, it's unbelievable. And it goes back to what I said again about the PSG. Or the PSG is just a specific example. You can pick Barcelona or Bayern Munich, any of the teams that have gubbed us in the last few years. See if it is, Neymar has skipped past two players and bent it into the top corner. Or take your pick, Di Maria, Draxler, any one of these guys, Mbappe. If anyone does a moment of just undeniable genius and buries you, you're like, well, there's very little we can do about that, right? You can set up all you like, you can apply all the tactics and try and shut these guys down, but there's a reason that these guys are the best players on the planet. But that's, again, it's Sparta Prague. You shouldn't be getting cut open by two passes straight down the midfield. And the amount of or, as happened in this game, putting in what I would describe as five-a-side challenges, like McGregor for the first, was that the first goal? And then Shane Duffy for that ridiculous memed one ever since, where he just turned the completely wrong direction. What those challenges were are the type of things you do literally get, I'm only like sort of 80% joking about comparing it to fives, because there's a kind of gentleman's agreement with fives that, no slideys, mate, we've all got a one in the morning, you know what I mean? let's calm down, you know what I mean? Don't go in too hard. So you basically, your only option to take it off someone is to just stick out a leg and pretend you kind of tried your best to take it off them. That's what Shane Duffy looked like in that challenge. It's criminal. It's so easy to just carve your way through this Celtic midfield and defence. Because I'm focusing a lot on Shane Duffy, of course, because there's no getting away from it. His individual performances have been comical lately. But it's what leads to that as well. It's what leads to that. He's the last link in the chain when it comes to defending, and we're exposing him time and again.
When you look around the pitch, there are many players, you know, not performing. And Neil Lennon obviously made the decision on Shane Duffy and took him out of the firing line or gave him time off or whatever you want to call it. Old school foot. My dad would just say he's been drapped or hooked. So, you know, you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Callum McGregor himself, I don't think was particularly good. However, I'm willing to give Callum McGregor the benefit of the doubt as a player who's, as I've said a couple of times in this podcast, scrambling about, trying to make it all happen, trying his best to make up for other people's mistakes all over the pitch, which he just absolutely cannot do. But let's have a conversation about Odson Edouard, a player that Celtic need, a player that, you know, is the talisman for the side, a player that got us out of so much trouble last season and in the past has got us out of so much trouble, by far the best player on the team, by far the best player in the country. Looks so far off the pace. You know, we're still getting stuff like he plays against Prague, gets dropped for the following game. Neil Lennon says he's still having a bit of a hangover post COVID. Fine. Even if you take that on face value, that performance against Sparta and his previous performances rather this season have really got me asking questions about whether or not this guy really wants to be here and whether or not selling him in the summer might have been a better thing to do.
It's old Harry hindsight, but as you say, his performance on Thursday night was unacceptable, and it's been labelled that before, that it doesn't look like he wants to be here, and I'm not very comfortable with that. But on Thursday night, that's exactly what it looked like. It looked like that, and it looked like he wasn't working hard. He'd Elian Hussein Christie either side of him, and they were pressing, and he was just strolling about like that wee video of Messi we've seen over the last week where the guy just runs past him. It was pathetic from Edouard. We need players to be putting in everything because we're not playing well now. So you need the team to put in 100% and then go from there, and we're not getting that from a lot of players, and Odson Edouard's one of them. It was embarrassing, and it was just as if he wanted to be taken off at any opportunity.
With Edouard, much like with a lot of other players in the past, I give them a lot of benefit of the doubt if it comes to the point, and it's a conversation we've had many times, if it comes to the point where you're simply too good to play in Scotland, I get that. I understand, you know, what their motivations are. If you've spent 2 or 3 years in Scotland, you probably think, right, I've done that, regardless of any fans' perception of what they should stay for, what we perceive as ambition to win the 10, etc., etc. If you reach a point in your career where you think you have to move on, I get it. But look, there's no transfer window open just now. Even if you do feel aggrieved at not having been sold to the summer, and from what we're led to believe, there was only one bid from a middling Bundesliga team. It's not as if like Arsenal or Barcelona or any of these teams came calling. It was just, you know, it was just a decent Bundesliga team, we're led to believe. You've got to go on with it, mate. What this Celtic team is experiencing just now is a lot of people, and I say people because I mean players and coaching staff, are having their careers devalued at the moment, their career prospects. Everyone's value is sharply dropping because of the performances that are going in just now. Edouard will still get a good move, but could you know just try and turn it on just now and at least leave on a high note and, you know, like make his miss yet? And I understand that Neil Lennon has since said that he's still not fit from his bout of COVID, and I get that as well. I'm perfectly willing to give him that allowance. But why did he start in this game? Why did he start and then came out of the team against Motherwell because he's still no fit from having suffered from a viral infection? And it's a conversation we'll need to have tonight as well about some of the things Neil Lennon has been saying lately.
Yeah, definitely, we'll get to that.
Hashtag just saying stuff for Neil Lennon recently, but that was another one where, look, man, you're communicating to the fans here. You need to try and start making a bit more sense. I'll come across as a wee bit more clear and concise when we're talking to the fans, because I know we don't really like the comparison with Brendan Rodgers when it comes to professionalism and all that kind of stuff. I think some of that is unfair. But what Brendan Rodgers made us do as fans during that era was listen to the management. Every time that Brendan Rodgers spoke, we paid attention.
Yeah.
And okay, some of it turned out to be complete bullshit, right? We've had the jokes about that. But now, as a result of that, we pay attention to what Neil Lennon says and we pick up on when he's making completely contradictory statements, which is happening a lot recently.
One thing Brendan Rodgers always said, he used to say to the players, the wages in the bank every month, we fill our end of the bargain. Yep. We pay the wages, we make you better. You need to fill our end of the bargain. And it's very easy to shovel this onto old Neil Lennon. But there are players in the team who are playing. Ryan Christie's definitely playing. Scott Brown's definitely playing. Laxalt's playing. Frimpong playing, but not playing well. There's players there that are showing the level of application that's required.
Yeah.
And at the moment, Odson Edouard isn't one of them. So I think Neil Lennon really has to assess where Odson Edouard fits into his plans going forward on these recent performances.
No, you can tell that Neil Lennon's, he's floundering a bit. He's trying to fling in a Yeti 1 week, Edouard the next week. I know there's a lot of games coming up, but my worry is, again, I've said it before, that these players, I think they're playing for Neil Lennon. I don't see them just going out there and going, you know what, I don't care, because as Jamie just listed a lot of them, they do. And judging by their performances, it's just not working out tactically for them. My worry is they are playing for Neil Lennon, but they don't know what they're doing for Neil Lennon.
Right.
And it's all getting all individual, like you've said, with Callum McGregor running about like a headless chicken trying to mop up with everyone. There's guys going forward, there's gaps in between. These players were with Brendan Rodgers. I know Brendan Rodgers was sort of lucky appointment, a one-off, a really good manager. But he went out, gave these players a system and said, play to this system. And if you play to the system and it breaks down, it's the system's fault or the players within it haven't played well. So we can sort that out. So we can go away, look at it. Was it the system or was it the players? Because you're the better players and you're fitter. This Celtic team go out and they've got better players, so that's how they win. And when that falls down, it's on the players. There's no to or fro. There's no, oh, wait a minute, maybe if we turn this. It's always the players let me down, the culture, all this sort of stuff that Lennon's been on about. And it's all nonsense, because every single time we come up against a team with any sort of technique, any sort of tactical knowledge, we get found out and we get absolutely embarrassed in Europe time and time again. And it's no coincidence anymore that any sort of level up or equal level, it's not even equal level, teams below us are now beating us. Teams below
quite
us are now
below
beating
us. In terms of, in terms of resource and players, quite a bit below us.
You said it, Melly, embarrassing. And it's not just the words of this podcast. It's the words of Callum McGregor after the game. He says, you can't lose 4-1 at home. It's embarrassing. I'm devastated. It's really difficult to put into words how bad it was. We're so disjointed. It's unbelievable. We've got half the team trying to score, but we've also got 2 for 2 at the back. You can't do that at this level. You just get picked off. That's Callum McGregor being openly critical of the management, the players, the system, the way we approach the game. It's been a long time since I've heard a Celtic player be very, very honest about that. And I think Callum McGregor's always very honest in his post-match interviews. And it's intriguing that he still gets put up for them, because that, for me, left no space for any excuses. And that is one thing we've been saying a lot on the Patreon previews and stuff like that. We're beyond the point of excuses now.
Yep.
We're beyond the point of excuses. Neil Lennon, yeah, his post-match, lack of application, lack of hunger, and it's not us. So there has to be a culture change, and I've got to change it quickly, and the players need to change it quickly, because it's totally unacceptable for a club of our standard. What's he talking about with this culture change, Stephen? Because as far as I can understand, he inherited a culture of winners.
Yeah.
And this notion, Stephen, surely that you can change a culture in a couple of days, or you change, no. These things are bred over months and weeks, and this is the golden nugget at the heart of football management, is it not? Creating that culture. It's not just something absolutely. You can turn on in a couple of days.
Work harder at training between Thursday and Sunday and we'll sort the culture. No, that's complete nonsense. Before we go on to that, just exactly on what Callum McGregor has said there. You've got two options there, right? See, if the team is so disjointed and everyone's bombing forward, leaving two on two at the back. Only two options for me, unless anyone's willing to or can come up with anything else. One, it's Neil Lennon and John Kennedy's instructions for them to do that, to just bomb forward willy-nilly and leave ourselves wide open at the back. Or two, the players are taking it upon themselves because they don't believe in the system that they've been given. Neither one of those is a very kind of enviable outcome, to be perfectly honest. It's an absolute mess. Those, to my mind, are the only two possibilities. On this stuff about the culture, you're absolutely right, Jay. It's a crazy thing to say, because if you take the club as a business, right, and that's what you tend to talk about when you talk about building a culture, it comes from the top. It's not in the dressing room. That's from the very top. If you were to bring in someone to fix your toxic culture at a club, a consultant, let's say, the first thing they would do is, well, who created this culture? Who are the most influential figures in that dressing room? And it's Neil Lennon and Scott Brown. So those two are the first out the door. If they've fostered this culture, for the record, that's not what I'm saying should happen. But if you follow Neil Lennon's words out to its natural conclusion, they're the first ones to go if there's a negative culture in the dressing room. So it's a very odd thing to focus on. And it's certainly not built over the course of a couple of games. James McFadden said on Sportsound the other night after the Sparta Prague game that, oh, you need to remember the state the club was in when Neil Lennon found it. And I'm like, well, hold on a minute here, because the club was a relentless winning machine, absolute football mentality titans in that dressing room. The only thing that had happened was the manager had left. You can't talk about the club being in a state. The manager had left and been replaced very, very quickly with a guy that James McFadden sought to defend here. You can't describe the club as in a state. That's complete nonsense to me. So the culture, if there's something wrong with the culture, it's because it's been chipped away at over a long period of time, and it takes a long period of time to build that back up again.
What does he mean, Melly, when he talks about the culture? What is he saying? You know, I'm not saying what I know. What obviously the word culture means, but what is Neil Lennon saying about his own Celtic team there when he says the culture change? Is he saying they're lazy? Is he saying they're not listening to him? Is Neil Lennon looking at this situation and going, you know, I used to have a bit of a reputation for being a firebrand. I used to shout at players. I used to be aggressive. But do you know what? I was a winner when I did that. I've come in and I've taken these guys and I've tried to be more pragmatic. I've tried to not do that. Maybe Neil Lennon's looking at this situation and going, maybe I need to become the aggressor again. Maybe I need to become shouting Neil Lennon because I've got nothing less to lose.
Snarling man.
Snarling. Maybe he needs to become the snarling man again. But what does he mean, Melly, when he talks about the culture in the camp?
This is the problem. I'm not sure. I'm just trying to guess here, because as we've spoken about, he's coming into this club. They were an absolute winning machine. They knew exactly how to play. They all knew their roles on the pitch. And it's now got to the point where this is now Neil Lennon's team. This isn't Brendan Rodgers' team.
Rewinding too far? Because we only need to rewind back to January there. It was a winning machine. Smashing everything in the league, left, right and centre. Neil Lennon is he undoing his own culture? This is what I'm trying to understand. This is what I'm trying to get you to answer, Melly. Is Neil Lennon saying, when he says we need to change a culture, is what he's saying coded for, they're all lazy bastards, or they've all stopped listening to me, or I'm too nicey-nicey? Is that what he's getting at?
Well, I think it's the fact that this is now Neil Lennon's team. This is his culture. He's been in there long enough. He's got enough of his own players. He's had enough time in the transfer window. He's had enough time on the pitch to implement his style, and it's not working. So he's just trying to deflect it back onto the players for me and say, this is your culture, Neil. This is what you've bred. You have chipped away at what they had before, and now this is you. So if you're going to change the culture, you have to change what you have bred here.
Jamie, I know this is an audio medium, so the listeners won't be aware of this, but have you noticed that tonight Melly has a prop for the first time? Just to give you an idea of how stern he is tonight, He's got a pen.
He's got one of those teacher whips. Is that what he's got?
He's got a pen and he is knifing it at us with every point he makes to just drill it home. That is how upset Melly is tonight.
Stephen, when I was asking that question to Melly, I'm going to ask the same question to you. Neil Lennon is saying he's looking at this going, I need to change the culture. And this has been picked up on. This has been the hot topic as well as another thing that he spoke about. What is it? What does he mean? How is Neil Lennon describing there the culture within his own camp? Is he saying these guys are losers now?
Yeah, well, effectively, there's a lot of implications that go with it. We can only speculate on what he means, but what comes with talking about a negative culture comes with it accusations or implied accusations of laziness or complacency. Or I don't know.
I think he's talking about old Lenny. I think that's what he needs to bring back. I think Neil Lennon's saying I'm too soft on them.
Well, he did. He also used the phrase "back to basics" as well. So maybe that is an implication that he's going back to the old Lennon because he's fed up.
Back
with being
to Gullin Sands running up and down with a player on their back. Is that what they're doing?
That's it. Everybody getting in and doing burpees at training.
Right, burpees in a full English.
see what Neil Lennon has been saying a lot recently, and people might say that we pick up too much on what he says, but there comes a time when someone has said maybe 4, 5, 6 questionable things where you start to think, well, what is it you actually mean here? And you know, this might be the wankiest thing I've ever said in the podcast, but Occam's razor has to be applied here. Like if you're faced with 6 of these things, it becomes a case of the less ridiculous outcome is that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm being facetious there. I'm not saying Neil Lennon doesn't know what he's talking about, but if he keeps saying things that make out that he doesn't know what he's talking about, that's what we're going to be led to believe. If he says something like he's not big on shape, we can then allow him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, that's not really what he meant. What he meant was such and such.
Yeah.
When he then says, oh, I think the players are overcoached, we can again go, but he doesn't really mean that. What he means is this. And then when he says, I haven't done the post-match analysis in a long time, which everyone jumped on the other night.
That was the second thing I was alluding to.
Yeah, again, everyone jumps on it. And again, we can go, right, okay, well, maybe he doesn't mean that. But if you keep making us work to defend you in what you're saying, maybe just stop saying these things. It's becoming very difficult. It's very unfair on Neil Lennon, right? But I feel like he is a guy who desperately has to fight for his reputation. And that's just what we're faced with Neil Lennon all the time. He constantly has to remind people that he is a professional football manager. And that's desperately unfair on the guy because he deserves the right to be considered a successful football manager. But I think he's trying a little bit too hard now. He keeps having to remind people he's professional. And that's unfair. But I think he keeps just saying things that completely contradict something he's previously said. There was the Moyo Yunusi phone thing, right, which was a completely ridiculous
throwaway incident.
I understood why people were annoyed about it, because see, in the midst of a result like that, people are going to get annoyed at everything, right? So I understood why people were focusing on it, but for the media to bring it up and talk about Neil Lennon or ask him about it was a bit ridiculous. I kind of understood where people were coming from, because if that was like an English player, if it was Marcus Rashford or Raheem Sterling who was caught on his phone in the stand, it would have been front page news and he would get absolutely pilloried for it. But he says things like, I don't care about these things. That's the media putting that on it. But you brought it up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were the one that said he better not have been on his phone. And then 2 days later, he says, well, I didn't say that. That's all.
Do you know what I think
no
that is, though?
Here.
That's old Lenny fighting new Lenny. That's old angry Lenny coming out after the game going, he better not fucking been on his phone. And then new Lenny having a couple of days to think of it, going, look, we dealt with it internally. We sat down, we had a chat, and it was all fine.
It's the same with the... Remember after the Ferencváros game, he said, oh, some players don't want to be here and I'm tired of it. Then he goes back on it a couple of days later.
New Lenny.
And blames everyone else for it. He blames conspiracy theories in the media about dressing room fallouts. And I'm like, Lenny, see, if you don't want these conspiracy theories, don't start them. that's a simple solution to that.
When Lennon's talking about the culture and the lack of application and the lack of hunger, if Neil Lennon wants to go back to the old Neil Lennon, be more aggressive, shout at the players, have them more aggressive on the pitch, that's fine. But teams can still pass right through you, so you need to sort that first. So even if you do all those things you've talked about, change that culture, you need to apply tactics to it because teams just see right through you, and it's so simple to see play against Celtic right now.
The games are coming thick and fast for Celtic, which Neil Lennon and the team say is a good opportunity to right the wrongs, and they did have an opportunity to right the wrong against Motherwell. If you want to see it that way, they beat a Motherwell side 4-1. Neil Lennon on this game merely rang the changes with yet another lineup, which had me thinking, does Neil Lennon know his best 11?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And this is part of the problem, isn't it? This part of the problem we've had all season. We've been chopping and changing, some of it obviously down to injuries and personnel being out with COVID and that sort of thing. But there are so many games we have to freshen up a bit. But again, another defensive pairing, another back four, goalkeeper kept the same. But is Scott Bain long-term going to be the man in there? There's so many questions within the team. Again, Scott Brown starting 3 games in a week. Absolutely crazy stuff. So there's...
Well, hold on. I'm going to have to stop you there. I'm not defending Neil Lennon, but Scott Brown was one of the best players on the pitch against Motherwell. So that, I don't know if that came into it, that starting 3 games a week.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
No, it doesn't, but it's a wider problem because we don't have anybody else to play, do we? Neil Lennon doesn't trust anybody else to bring in, so he's having to play a 35-year-old in every game. Scott Brown's been substituted. He gets substituted in the Sparta game. So is that because he wasn't playing well, or is that to rest him for the weekend? I don't know, because it looked like it was to rest him for the weekend because he thinks he's so important. But it's a wider problem, isn't it? We've got a 35-year-old playing in a midfield too. It doesn't work. But the problem still is... We've done it so many times this season, brought player A in for player B. It's the same problems we see every week. It's the same fundamentals that are going wrong within the game.
Stephen, Celtic did give away far too many chances to Motherwell. They were extremely susceptible at crosses. That's where Motherwell got their goal. There was a couple of chances. Tony Watt could have put it in the back of the net. Same old problems, even though with a change of personnel. That being said, I was pleased to see Nir Bitton on the side. I thought he'd done a better job than Shane Duffy had done in recent weeks.
Yeah, Beaton, I was getting a little bit carried away with before the Sparta game. For anyone who isn't aware, we do a live preview show on Patreon for our all-in patrons, and we seek to replace the Sky, or in that case, BT build-up. You know, if everybody's fed up with Chris Boyd and Chris Commons, well, Chris Commons isn't really involved anymore, is he? Finally make a good decision, Sky.
We've put him out of business, that's why.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to get rid of them, come on, get involved with the boys and we'll do your pre-match build-up for you. But we were doing that and I got awfully carried away with Nir Beaton's ability, didn't I, Melly? Because my head was floating off into space talking about how good he was and Melly was just pulling the balloon string back down to stop me floating off entirely. I thought he was pretty shaky against Sparta Prague, to be perfectly honest. As much as I talked him up pre-game, there were a couple of dodgy moments. I think while it was still 0-0, I think Celtic had dominated the first opening exchanges, but it was a couple of ropey passes from Beaton that allowed Sparta Prague to get on the front foot. But I've got no issues with his presence in the team at the moment, because I think he provides something that the rest of the because I think
you're
he
emotional.
Don't bust any tears. Because I think he provides. I was going to edit that out there, but it stays now. Choked on nothing, because I think he provides something that the rest of the defenders can't. A little bit of composure and the ability to pass the ball. We're sure as shit ain't getting that out of Shane Duffy. So I think his inclusion made sense, especially with the returning Ayer, who I thought could provide a little bit more stability back there as well.
The inclusion of those guys was definitely a positive in a week that we didn't have too many. Another positive, though, was the performance of Elian Ussie, Tom Rogic and Ryan Christie as well, but particularly Mo Elianoussi, who managed to bag himself a hat-trick, and Tom Rogic. But that Elianoussi performance tells me that there's players there who can win games for Celtic if they're given the tools to do the job, if they're given a structure, if they're given players around them, if they're given instruction. In many ways, it doesn't really bode too well for Neil Lennon, because we'll touch on this at the end of the game, but what this game told me was all the tools are there to win games in this league. You just need to make sure you're putting them together and using them in the right order, Melly. Mo Elianoussi, though, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he was brilliant. It's something he just does. He gets into these dangerous positions. An upgrade on Scott Sinclair, I think I said previously. And then when we switched to the 3-5-2, I was like, oh, there's no position for him. But he's playing in his right position on that left-hand side. And as we've spoke about, no coincidence, he's came into form when he's got Laxalt, Christie, Rogic all beside him, all guys creating things and making space for him. And he's a good finisher. He's a great finisher, in fact. We've seen it with near perfect hat-trick. We had the header, the right foot and the left knee. So we'll give him that one. But he's picking away there. But it was a great header as well. And the first goal, just a sort of striker's instinct. He's in there for the rebound after some decent play from Ayeti. And I think him and Ayeti sort of worked a lot better together than Edward and Elianoussi, because they both drop off to the one side. So there's problems for Neil, a lot of problems for Neil Lennon to solve. But as you say, Jamie, the players are all there to do it. He just needs to find the right system for them all.
Stephen, you love a cutback and a tap-in. I love gambling at the back post. I think that's an absolute must. You must always gamble on the rebound. Neil Lee Griffiths does it fantastically. Mo Elianoussi showed great instinct. And that is a player who's alert, hungry, confident, looking forward to the game. So Neil Lennon got a response out of him in that game, didn't he?
Definitely, and he seemed quite, Elianoussi seemed a wee bit prickly after the game as well in his post-match interview, because I think what the interviewer, you know, asked him about having scored a header, and he said, well, I'm actually good in there. I don't know why people underrate me there. I can score headers. So it was interesting to see him coming out and fighting his corner after suffering an inexplicable backlash for his phone pad. And again, I've already spoken about it because I understood it at the time, but for it to carry on days into the into the coming days was ludicrous, especially with Paul Lambert.
Do you think there was a lot of weight on his shoulders, though? Do you think there was a lot of weight on his shoulders? Because according to Paul Lambert, he did let Jock Steen down.
How am I doing, boss?
To be fair, see as far as the paragon of Celtic insults go, right? So no matter the worst thing you can probably do as a Celtic player is, quote, let Jock Steen down. Where do you go from that? What if, heaven forbid, an unknown Celtic player ran over a dog with his car and they went to Paul Lambert for comment? He couldn't say once again, well, he'd let Jock Steen down there, because that's the tariff for being on your mobile phone. Where do you go from there, Paul? You fucking overshot that massively.
Oh, man. I know. I just imagine what Paul Lambert was picturing there, that just the clouds part. Jock Steen just peers down from on high and looks down and just says, well, first of all, I don't know what a mobile phone is, because I died in 1985, but I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. I'm just disappointed in you, Moy. And Moy just burst into tears. Paul Lambert has a very active imagination, if this is what he's talking about.
How did the journalist on the other end of the phone know, pish themselves laughing when they hit? They go, Paul, he was only on his phone. What did you think I said? Did you think I said he killed somebody? No, he's only on his phone.
Hey, no, he's let Jock Steen down on that one.
Hopefully, though, with his performance against Motherwell, him and Jockstein made up.
He answered the call in a way, and El Yunusie didn't he, in this game. But a sensational performance, and from Tom Rogic as well. The hat trick was great. He's been fine goal scoring form all season now, and particularly in the last few games. There was a period this season where it looked like, I think he got a couple against Reykjavik and then had a wee dip in form, but that's probably coincidentally when we started playing him as a sort of auxiliary striker just off the front one. So that I can't blame him for that. Melly, in fairness to you, you kept the faith with Moy all along. You urged us to back the man, and we did. And I worry where we'd be without him just now, to be perfectly honest, because he's been absolutely sensational form. Even last week we were talking about the take the goals away. He's still an absolutely key player in terms of his work rate and his pressing. Everything that Moyle Yunusie puts in is absolutely great just now.
I think that front four there of Rogic, El Yunusie, Ayeti and Christie are probably the strongest front four Celtic could pick at the moment, given the form. And in many our problems really aren't at the front so much as they are at the back. If we could get a back four performing as well as these guys in the front four, we'd probably be onto something. Tom Rogic, we cannot speak highly enough of Tom Rogic on this podcast. Yeah. Amazingly, he's starting to play more minutes now. You know, he seems to be completing more games than ever before. I don't know if that's Neil Lennon being reliant on him or Tom Rogic happy to do that. Ryan Christie, I think he takes this shoot from anywhere instruction. Just a shade too far. Just a shade. Just admittedly, it's a potent threat and he scores a lot of goals and causes a lot of problems and keepers and defences have to be aware of it. But sometimes you think, if you just wait, or just take an extra touch, just don't always pepper the goal with those shots. We might be a bit more fruitful.
My favourite one from Ryan Christie at the weekend there was Mo El Yunusie. Bagged two goals, free kick right outside the area, more suited to a right footer. No, Ryan Christie takes it and smashes it right off the wall. Fair play, Ryan.
Unforgivable. And
he likes that Lennon though, doesn't he? Sorry, he likes that Lennon though, doesn't he? A guy who just shoots from everywhere, because we think back to Chris Commons, doesn't it? Chris Commons liked a shot from absolutely anywhere. So I don't mean to sound like we are calling Ryan Christie the Chris Commons with less sodium in his system. He is his own man. He is not Chris Commons.
Chris Commons with less trans fats in his system. Although he's not getting in amongst the goals, though, I'm very pleased with Ayeti's performances as well. He looks hungry. He looks hungry to succeed, and he's grumpy when he gets taken off, and I like to see that.
I love it. He hates going off without getting a goal or at least one goal, and his link-up play is so much better right now than what Odson Edwards given us. His work rate, his link-up, he's bringing other players into play. And see, if your striker's not scoring, you'd worry if the rest of the team wasn't scoring, but we are. We're getting hat-tricks from El Yunusie. Rogic is setting up, five or six goals in the last few games as well. So we're getting goals and assists from elsewhere, but Ayeti's putting in the performance, putting in the work rate, and then he goes off having put in an absolute shift, and he's still raging. He's not got the goal. Unlucky with the first goal, mind you, because it was a decent shot, very, very sharp as well from him. So I think going forward, if we get back after this international break, as Jamie said, that's the front four, and it's up to Edward Griffiths, Mikey Johnson, James Forrest when he's back to break into that, and they're going to have a difficult time. David Turnbull as well.
Other than that, I mean, Tom Rogic, we kind of run out of things to say about him. We've not really had much opportunity this season because he hasn't played an awful lot. He's only come to the fore recently, but a word I would use about him is just mercurial, because we don't have a player like that. We don't have, players like that barely exist anymore. Guys who
Do you know what he reminds me of?
Yeah.
Do you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of one of these Yugoslav, I'm probably describing it exactly, some sort of Serbian or Yugoslavian player from the mid-90s who smokes fags at half-time and gets a helicopter. Prozinecki, who gets a helicopter into training. Like, one of these myths. He's barely fit. He won some sort of competition to come to Celtic, but when he's on the pitch, his feet are just absolutely magic. That's the kind of player Tom Rogic is, and I think he's going to be tremendous until like his mid to late 30s. He's going to be one of these guys that just keeps, like Nakamura or something.
He'll end up playing like Pirlo or something. He'll just start getting further and further back and start pinging deep passes.
Get the cigar out in the deck chair and just ping passes left, right and centre.
Aye, a final thing on the Motherwell game. Scott Brown was much better. I thought he was actually excellent, but a point Melly made on the reaction was that he'd actually given the ball away quite a lot, but despite the fact that there was one or two absolute shockers, but he then made up for it by winning the ball immediately back, but two very, very slack passes. What I would say about that is I think he was excellent to a point, but that probably proves that he shouldn't be starting every game. I think he was good for probably an hour and then started playing some dodgy passes there. But I saw the graphic after the game where he was basically first or second in terms of basically every, you know, the main kind of defensive metrics that you know, very vague metrics such as like recovering possession and all that. So I think he did that job extremely well, even if one or two of them were from his own mistakes. But that's all we can really ask out of Scott Brown, is to be sharp onto these Motherwell attacks, because Christ knows the defence needs it at the moment.
So the Motherwell result, you know, as Neil Lennon said after the game, it was an opportunity to get back and put the misery of the Sparta game behind us. And they certainly did that, but it doesn't allay any of these fears, certainly not on this podcast anyway, about Neil Lennon's future. Neil Lennon seems to be one bad result away. I think it's fair to say Neil Lennon is one bad domestic result away from potentially losing his job or the heat being turned up. It's so unbearable. That leaves a lot more questions than answers. Melly, we said on the podcast before, we all kind of unanimously agreed that we said that he should get to the international break, and avoiding any domestic defeats should probably keep his job. The problem is, I don't think any of us anticipated an absolute capitulation and an embarrassment to Sparta Prague. And it's not now a case of bad result, lose job, good result, keep job. We're looking at the body of work here, and there's a lot on the line. And I particularly myself listen to a lot of sports journalists, Tom English and all that. These guys saying, you know, you're laughing, Stephen, I know. Celtic are hamstrung by the 10. They're obsessed with this 10. Aye. They're bedwetters. I'm not obsessed with the 10 as much as I'm obsessed with winning the league over a league of teams who do not have the advantage we do, who don't have the financial advantage, who don't have the players' advantage. I just want the team to be performing the way they should be performing. And for me, they're not doing that under Neil Lennon. It's just a fact. It's a matter of fact now for me that the team are not performing the way they should be under Neil Lennon, and he knows it. He said as much. I think he's scrambling now with excuses and team selections. He's obviously wants to turn it around. I don't doubt that, but I have my severe doubts about whether or not he can, and especially with the form Rangers are in. I don't want to hear it. See the form Rangers are in just now? It's worrying for this league title.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can hear their voices now, oh, is this a Rangers podcast now? You shouldn't be bumming up Rangers. Facts are facts. And Rangers' form right now is not booting the balls off where we were in the Invincible season. Very will they keep it up? Yeah. Who knows? But they're doing it whilst we're being in bad form. So that's when you're looking at a team that are top of the league and they don't look like shipping many points anytime soon, and we're scrambling all over the place trying to find wins and fumbling from one loss and defeat and a draw. It doesn't make for comfortable watching. And it's not about the 10. It's about winning one. It's about winning this season. And I'm losing. And I've lost any faith in Neil Lennon and being able to turn this around, Melly.
Yeah, look, to my fault, I've been trying to defend Neil Lennon over the past few weeks. I've said, look, give him this international break. But after that game on Thursday night, I just had to wash my hands of him, because that's too much. I cannot sit and watch Celtic, who... Everybody's going on about the 10 and winning this league, then that's fine. Everybody wants to win the league, but you do not forego Europe for that. If you're good enough to win the league, you should be going into these European games. I've grown up going to see Celtic in Europe, and now Neil Lennon's taking us from a team who we didn't qualify 1 year out of three for the Champions League. It was seen as a disaster. Going into this now, remember, Stephen, I said to you when the transfer window shut, it seemed like the sort of end of the road for this team, even though we'd brought in so many players. And at the end of the season, next season, do you see Neil Lennon being there? Do you see a lot of players being there? Do you see Peter Law being there? Very rarely in football, unless you're Alex Ferguson, do you get to ride off into the sunset. It doesn't happen. If your plan is short term, it rarely works out. And right now, Celtic's plan is short term. Neil Lennon's taking this Celtic team. They were good in Europe last year. Now they're not. They're not qualifying for the Champions League in these two attempts so far. If he stays on till next season, manages to win the league, they'll not get into the Champions League because he doesn't have the tactical wherewithal to do it. We're now at a point where we're in the Europa League and we're an embarrassment. We are not even competing in the Europa League. And for me, that's too far. That's too far. That's time where you go, so what does Celtic want then? Does Celtic just want to scramble on in the league and maybe win the league by a couple of points or lose the league by a couple of points? Or do they want to be the best team they can be and compete in Europe? I want to be playing in the Champions League. Celtic should be qualifying for the Champions League. We're not even going to get out of Europe in our group. That is pathetic. A Europa League group against a Czech team. Now, that Sparta Prague team are a team we are going to come up against in the qualifiers for the Champions League. They ripped us apart. At Celtic Park now, we're a joke. We get beat more times than we win in Europe. Any team with any tactical nous, with a decent manager, will come up against this Celtic team and beat them. And any team in Scotland, Stephen Gerrard, Rangers, with any sort of nous, will beat us because it's easy. All he had to do was drop his fullbacks back when he played us, and that was us. Game plan done. Neil Lennon, Celtic legend, great guy, had great times with the club. But now, next season, if Neil Lennon's a Celtic manager, do we win the league? No, probably not. We don't qualify for the Champions League. This season, if Neil Lennon remains Celtic manager, will we win the league? I don't think we will. So I think it's time for me to say that's enough, Neil, because this is still, we can still win this league if we make a change now. If we drag it out, I don't know if we can.
Well, strong words from Melly. And of course, you know, you can't please everyone. Obviously, we're a fans podcast at the end of the day, and our views are our own. And if anyone comes away with this with the takeaway that we are anti-Lennon, you're absolutely miles off it. Do you know what I mean? That's a completely unfair accusation. I think what Melly has said there has been very measured and laid out, and I think he's made his case very well. I'm worried now. I'm worried now that with all that Melly said, he talks about Europe, where you just forgo it. I worry that what Celtic are becoming is a narrow-minded, flat-track bully. And what I mean by that is, yes, we will go out and smash Motherwell. We'll go out and beat more Scottish teams than not. Of course we will. That will just happen. And I'm not dismissing Neil Lennon's influence over that entirely. But when you have the advantages that Celtic do, you're going to win more games than not. And my worry, as it pertains to Europe, is that, as Melly says, we're a complete joke now. We can't do anything in Europe, can't lay a glove on any decent teams. And yes, I take Lazio and Rennes and all that into account, but that's the past now. The last season was good, but it's a long time ago. We're talking about the present. I worry that it not only opens you up to being shown up in Europe because you're not prepared for it, because you think you're so much better than you are by beating the likes of Motherwell and Hibs and all that, that not only does it do that, it allows our Rangers to just creep up and gradually overtake you, to smell blood and then gradually just sneak past you. And that's exactly what they've done. I'm not for a minute conceding the league here, because that would be absurd of me. But right here and now, in November 2020, Rangers are the better team. Winning the 10 has gone from being an inevitable procession to being an underdog story. Celtic are now underdogs for this league. That's the bare facts of it. That's not my opinion. Don't get me wrong. If Celtic win the league, it's going to be all the better, because we defied the odds and made history in that way. But just on the face of it just now, it's not looking that way.
Who do you get in? Let's turn our attention to who we get in, or what sort of manager will take this job. Because I think, as I've said before in podcasts, I think that the hierarchy at Celtic, I have no faith in them being able to bring in a guy that can do the job. No. And I've been thinking about this a lot, a couple of weeks. I think we need to forget any notion of Brendan Rodgers or a Brendan Rodgers level manager coming into Celtic. To use that tired old cliche that I've used, Brendan Rodgers is the Armani suit that you find in a charity shop. A one-off. The stars aligned. He needed to rebuild his reputation. I've said that a million times before, and he comes into Celtic and it worked for all parties, but he left. So I think we need to forget any notion of Brendan Rodgers. But what's very telling for me is the minute Brendan Rodgers left, we go back and get Neil Lennon. Again, spoke about it a million times, a guy whose CV didn't read anywhere near what Celtic should get. Who comes in at this stage? Who comes in at this stage, and do you trust the people that are in charge to do it? Because I'm going to say something that I never thought I'd say, but I honestly think that the board might have been onto something with Ronnie Dyla. I think when the board appointed Ronnie Dyla, they thought, we cannot go out and get the manager of the day, the Jurgen Klopp. We can't go out and go and buy another Armani suit or buy an Armani suit. We need to find Jurgen Klopp before he's Jurgen Klopp.
So they went out and got what they do to players, to the management role, is what you're saying, right? Okay.
And they went out and got Ronnie Dyla, and it didn't work. And they just threw the whole plan in the bin. Yeah. But they should have well, that Ronnie Dyla one didn't work. But you know what? Here's another three guys on lists. And I bet if you'd made a list of four or five Ronnie Dylas, everyone but Ronnie Dyla would be managing top European teams at the moment.
Yeah.
Like Marco Rosa and all these guys that were at smaller European clubs. But we threw that whole plan in the bin when Brendan Rodgers came by, and that's fine, but we didn't return to it, and we should have returned to that plan. Now we're here, we've got Neil Lennon. Let's just make the assumption it's not working out, Melly. Let's make the assumption that the board are going to make a change. I don't need a name off you, but give me a profile. Give me the profile of a manager that comes in and fixes this.
It will be somebody like Ronnie Dyla or Brendan Rodgers, like another quite wide in variety of quality, but somebody that develops players, somebody that comes in and has a holistic approach to the club, because right now the club doesn't have a plan. It doesn't have a plan. The plan is win this league and then we'll maybe change it up after that. That's ridiculous. This is just another league to win. Next year's the same, another league to win. I know there's a 10 here, but we need somebody to come in, have a plan.
No, I'm talking about now. If you sack Neil Lennon next week, do you think you can bring in a guy like Ronnie Dyla to rescue this season? Like a guy with a plan, like a project? Who do you bring in now? I'm talking about now.
Yeah, well, you've already said it. The players are all there. The players are there. They just need a system to work with, because these players have showed before in the past, the ones that were here under Rodgers, they can perform way beyond the expectation if they know exactly what they're doing. I can sit here and name you a starting 11 and you go, that's a great Celtic team. That's not far off the Invincible team. But it's not working because we're getting picked off in Europe and picked off against good teams because we're getting tactically outclassed. We need a coach who comes in, develops players and sells them on. That's what Celtic's all about. But we've got a coach who doesn't do that. We need somebody who's going to tell these players exactly what they have to do, give them responsibility, and then it takes away any sort of notion that it was all your fault if this doesn't work out. Lennon just comes out and says, the players didn't do this. Well, see, if they know exactly what they're doing, they can hold their hands up, but they don't look like that. So we need somebody who had a clear plan of how he's going to play and a clear plan of how to develop players. Somebody like Eddie Howe off the top of my head. He might take it, he might not, but you ask the question, you go and ask these guys because they're out there. Neil Lennon is a Celtic legend, but there's a million better managers out there than Neil Lennon. Loads of better managers out there than Neil Lennon. And this job is a great job. Celtic are 9 points behind with 2 games in hand, with a great squad and the chance to win the biggest title in their history. I would love to take that job. I think MD would. Look what coming to
Celtic. There's one application in so far.
Well, he's no bad at the old football manager, isn't he? Jesus, some of the things he's done.
Look what Celtic done for Brendan Rodgers. He's at probably the biggest team he could have got out with the top six, and he's made them into a top six. They're top of the league right now, I think. So yeah. there are guys out there who would go, do you know what? This is a great opportunity right now. This team aren't out of this league. Maybe Europe's out the way, but at least then I'll have a free run at it in the league. All I need to do is win this league. I'm a legend, and then I can go for there. And we're in, what, November? So we go from November right through to March with no international break, and you've got the January window. Smashing job.
It comes back to the people behind the scenes, though, for me, yeah. Stephen. If Celtic were running, we know we're not, so it's too late to change that in many ways. There's almost no point moaning about that. But the board should have a short list here of potential managers who can come in. They absolutely should.
Okay, there's some CVs in somewhere that they can just pull out.
All things. But what we need to be aware of is the people that have turned the Celtic job down. I was listening to Stephen McGowan talk on another podcast recently, the journalist who's obviously quite close to things at Celtic. And he says, I think David Moyes has been offered or been let known that the Celtic job's his if he wants it at least 3 times and has turned it down 3 times. And then in Steve McGowan's world, that's a Celtic fan for Drumchapel who was out of a job at the time. This is what you're looking at. You're looking, who could possibly come in? What profile, Stephen? I know we know what job needs done. We know what opportunities are there. So we know the task in hand. We know that the tools to do the job are there. The bit that's missing in the middle is a manager to join those two bits together. What profile do you think of manager can and should we get?
Oh, how long have we got here? How long have we been going?
I mean, let me throw you a bone. Do we go for a no-nonsense Sam Allardyce type manager do we just go for somebody like that, right? I'm not saying Sam Allardyce, but an old guy, long in the tooth, comes in and just does a short-term job.
That's Gordon Strachan, isn't it? That's what he'd come in for.
Oh, absolutely not. Never mind years, but I know what you're saying, Melly. Or do we go out and push the boat out and say to some manager, go, look, you need to help us out here. Here's £5 million for 6 months' work. Come and restore your career.
So give it
Giggsy, end of the season. Oh, no, he's getting...
Oh, he's cancelled now.
I think sometimes what we're describing here about the guy with the holistic approach who's going to take a long-term plan and implement it and develop the club from the grassroots up, right? I think that's what we all need, or what the club needs long-term. I think the club needs to stop making decisions based on the 10, because we're absolutely suffocated by it. We are hostages to the 10. And I'm not dismissing it. What I mean is, if you start making decisions that are going to improve the team and the club, you'll win the league. Yeah. And there, and after that comes winning the 10, right? You don't yeah. throw all the eggs in there winning the 10 basket. You just try and win the league. What I think we maybe worry about too much is that a manager coming in will take too long. But that doesn't always happen. Look, managers come in and have an almost instant impact. It only takes a handful of games, really, to get a squad going. I find it difficult to believe that a manager could come in and totally torpedo this Celtic team and all of a sudden we're fifth in the league. You know, that risk that we're worrying about simply isn't realistic. That's not going to happen. Again, it's a wee bit of a cliche.
Sorry to cut in, but is the risk not you bin Neil Lennon, you make a big song and dance about bringing in another guy, you give him some money to spend in the January window and he blows it and all and you're left thinking, might be better off just keeping Neil Lennon.
That's the difficulty because that's going to be the perception. Yeah,
that's going to be the difficulty. But that would be the story. The story would be, we've been the manager, we've brought in Mr. X, he's got another 10 million quid to spend in the January window. It does sound cool, don't he? Think of the shirt sales. and then he still didn't win the league. So you'd Mowbray stuff, Mowbray in the January window stuff. Except we're a manager this time and not Robbie Keane.
I know it's hindsight again, but right now, if I was to ask you, Jamie, will Celtic win the league with Neil Lennon in charge?
I'm not confident of that. But unless you could, I mean, I suppose what the pitch is to a manager, Stephen, is just you're going to a manager and going, would you like, from 3 points behind, to come and win one of the easiest leagues in Europe, right? The Scottish Premier League, with a team who's more or less done it for the last 9 years, who've had fortunes spent on them in the summer, who's the most expensively assembled Scottish football team for the best part of 2 decades, and all you need to do is beat Steven Gerrard's Rangers team, which has been cobbled together by a rookie manager from players for Dundee and fucking Cardiff and Bournemouth and wherever else Rangers get the player. And then any manager would go, I fancy a bit of that.
It all seems so easy when you put it like that, doesn't it? So why aren't we doing it? Ugh, look, it's very difficult. And I absolutely hate dedicating almost an entire podcast to having to talk in these terms. I hate it because, exactly. We did not set out to be the anti-Neil Lennon, the Arsenal fan TV for Neil Lennon. That's not our MO.
That's what we are. Stephen. No, and I'm not accusing that, but I'm said at the top of the show. We didn't have to have this conversation. We could have just discussed exactly what happened. And I think 99% of listeners would be on the same conclusion as us.
Aye. That's another worrying thing recently about, the big debate over Neil Lennon's job is that I think sometimes we're expected to forget these massive, massive blows. Let's see, getting gubbed off Rangers not so long ago, and it was an embarrassing performance. We are then led to believe that it's all just a media conspiracy. Nobody wants Neil Lennon out. You're all just being programmed by the media to believe that there's a crisis. Right, okay, right, I'll give you that one. But then you go and get absolutely horsed off Sparta Prague not too long later. And again, we're like, how many of these do you want us to forget? At this point, because these are mounting up and they're
a body of work now.
It's unacceptable result after unacceptable result, and it's depressing, to be honest, to be in this season and in this position and so deep into the season now, because we've somehow managed to creep up and all of a sudden we're 12 games into this. Is that right? I mean, it's a miserable position to be in. The best we can hope for is that we are sitting here in a couple of weeks' time, or 3 or 4 weeks' time after the international break, and everything's sorted, looking back on how ridiculous we were being on this podcast. I mean, that episode we were talking about Neil Lennon's job, how knee-jerk were we being?
Yeah, and we would love that. But
the problem is this has been building, and this is a position we find ourselves in after, as you describe it, a body of work, mounting evidence, and it's everything. The reasons that we now probably feel, I don't want to speak for everyone, but the reasons that we probably feel that this has gone too far is everything we've talked about tonight, all this stuff that's coming out of the club, all this stuff about how players aren't happy, and there's a poisonous guy. He didn't use that word, poisonous, but what are we supposed to believe about the culture if it isn't broken, right? That the culture and the players were on the way, and it's all of these things that are the problem, and not all of them will be Neil Lennon's fault, of course, but at the end of the day, if the culture truly is broken at the club, then the way to fix that is to get rid of the most influential, the people who instilled that culture, whether they meant to or not, and of course they didn't mean to. If they are the problem, that's who you get rid of. And man, it's just it's a sad state of affairs, and I don't want to be talking in these terms, but here we are.
And I just want to wrap up by saying this genuinely: if Celtic lose this league, there's going to be a massive autopsy, and everyone should cop it because the financial advantage and the advantage we've had over the years over a team who, by everyone's admission, were created from ashes not a decade ago, to come on and win the league against a Celtic team that's had the massive advantage in terms of everything that we've got. The autopsy is going to be massive, right? But I want Neil Lennon to turn it around. And I'm being honest with that. I want him to turn that around. I want the Celtic manager to turn this around. I'm just now worried at the body of work we're seeing that we're not getting it. And just my final point on it, and the reason I'm getting worried as well by Neil Lennon's words and actions is because there's a lot of excuses. And I'm not saying that to be cruel or mean or overly harsh, but in sport, in top-level sport, you hardly ever hear winners talk about excuses. Who's that stupid boxer, Stephen Ormeli, the guy that says, oh, my suit was too heavy or my gloves were too
Wilder?
Him. He's like a laughing stock now. And I'm not saying Celtic at that level, but every week it's COVID, it's bowling goalie, it's call-offs, it's international
break, fatigue.
International break, fatigue.
Conspiracy theories.
You know, every single week there's an excuse, and I just want, you don't ever get that when you're winning. So, final word on it. I want Neil Lennon to turn it around. I'm just worried that he can't. Melly, final words.
Final word, Jamie. I'll just put that right back on you. If Celtic win the league this season, would you want Neil Lennon to be manager next year?
Depends on what standard he wins the league. See if something happens over the next week and he comes back and wins every game and batters every day 5-0 like he did after January. Then I would say, aye, let's take a look at it. I don't think he will be. But there's still time for him to turn it around.
That's the issue. But now,
if you're saying stop now, based on what I've seen so far, I want him to be manager next year. If he stumbles across the line, then the answer's no.
It's just because the league's not enough for me. It's not enough. I don't want to just scrape by and win the league. I want to be in Europe competing like I've already spoke about. And with Neil Lennon in charge, I don't think we can do that anymore. So that's why if we got to the end of the season and we Celtic don't win the league, this is the point where we go, that was the point we should have done it. We said, a win against Motherwell does not make up for the fact that you get absolutely ripped apart by a Sparta Prague team. That was the point we should have cut the ties, and that was the point where it was still conceivable that we can win the league. Now, hopefully we can win the league. I obviously want that. But going forward, I don't see Neil Lennon as the man to take Celtic on in the next couple of years. And we have to look at that. We can't just look at this league and go, it's all about this.
Stephen, final words.
Well, this has been fun, lads. Same time again next week.
I don't want to keep going over it, but if you're the Celtic manager, I want to be entertained and watch attacking football. I'm not getting that. I want you to win the league. We're not getting that. And I want you to compete in Europe. We're not getting that. Now,
so you're having none of your boxes ticked. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm having none of my boxes ticked, and I'm having to watch it in the house, which makes it a whole lot worse. So it's a big...
There's another excuse, fans not back in the stadium. Thanks for reminding me of that one. That's another one that we heard.
It's just, as it was said in the film, Sparta, are you not entertained? I'm not. Sorry, Neil, I'm not entertained.
Stephen, Melly, they're confusing the movie 300 with the movie Gladiator.
Oh, so am.
With Russell Crowe. Yeah, 300 was the CGI fest nonsense with Gerard Butler. And Gladiator was the sprawling Oscar-laden epic with Russell Crowe.
Ridley Scott,
easy to see.
You got the gist of it anyway.
You got any ham-fisted movie references, Stephen, that you would like to sum up?
I often do. I'm often full of movie, ham-fisted, shoehorned in movie and all TV references in here. But Melly's is so bad that it is neutralised my quote-finding abilities. So I'm going to have to let you down on this occasion.
And on that bombshell, I would just like to wrap up. I'd like to thank you guys, the listeners, for tuning in every week and giving your feedback and your reviews. Bit of a long episode this week, so we'll do the reviews competition next week. We'll announce our winner of our favourite five-star review. Stephen, would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye, folks.
Melly, would you like to say goodbye?
Oh, I can mess this one up. Goodbye, folks.
And I just want to say also a special thanks to all our patrons and supporters over on Patreon. You can check that out at patreon.com/20minutetims. But most of all, thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with purchase.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.